We'll now reconvene and start with item number four.
Good morning, Chairman Brooks and Commissioners. My name is Michelle Chen with the Department of Planning and Land Use. I will be presenting on item number four, which is the Mobility Shelter Valley Waters Telecommunication Facility. The department is before you today recommending approval of this project. Today's presentation will be broken down into three parts. First, we will provide an overview of the project location and description. We will then provide an overview of comments received from the public and staff's responses. And then we will conclude the presentation with staff's recommendations. Let us first start with project and site description. As shown in this vicinity map, the project site, as indicated by the red square, is located in Shelter Valley, approximately 12 miles east of Julian and 2 miles south of State Route 78. The project site and the surrounding area, as reflected in this aerial photo, can generally be described as rural. The surrounding uses include vacant lots, single-family residences, State Route 2, which is the Great Southern Overland, the Enza Borrego State Park, a private airstrip, the Shelter Valley Volunteer Fire Department, and the Shelter Valley Community Center. The proposed facility will be located on a vacant lot adjacent to the community center, which is shown here by the red dot. It is located approximately 115 feet from the center line of Great Southern Overland and 130 feet from the center line of Shooting Iron Trail. The Shelter Valley Community Center, Shelter Valley Fire Station, and the Hunt Sky Ranch Airport are the three properties within the search ring that are not occupied by residential use. The current site was selected because the applicant was informed that the fire station is due for future expansion, and therefore is not available for the siting of the proposed facility. And the Hunt Sky Ranch Airport was not selected due to safety concerns. The applicant's original proposal was a 68-foot tall pine tree to accommodate their secure tenant, Verizon, and a future carrier. This proposal was not supported by the department due to the lack of significant trees in the immediate vicinity. Therefore, the project had to be redesigned in order for the department to make the required major use permit findings. As a result, the project was modified as shown here and in the staff report. As mentioned earlier, the applicant has secured Verizon as one of the tenants for this co-location facility. The Verizon facility would include a total of 12 panel antennas, one microwave dish antenna, and two GPS antennas. Associated equipment would include a backup generator mounted inside a concrete block wall enclosure and an 11-foot tall prefabricated equipment shelter with concrete block walls surrounding the AC units for noise attenuation purpose. Additionally, the proposed facility is designed with space to accommodate a future wireless carrier. Landscaping is proposed to provide screening of the proposed facility from nearby roadways and residences. The proposed facility is intended to improve coverage along Great Southern Overland from Highway 78 to the north and south of Hunt Sky Ranch Airport. The map shown here is the existing coverage for Verizon. Red represents poor coverage, and blue represents good coverage. As you can see, the coverage in Julian and North Mountain is mostly poor, and there's no coverage in Shelter Valley at all. As seen on this slide, the implementation of the facility would provide optimal coverage in Shelter Valley and improved coverage in Julian and North Mountain.
Could you go back? I'm sorry. Could you go back to that slide again? I just want to understand. What's the green? Oh, optimal coverage.
Optimal
okay.
coverage. Next, I would like to go over the main issues raised by the public. Staff received comments from both opponents and proponents in Shelter Valley. The main concerns for the opponents are community character, site location, property value, and health effects. As for the proponents, the concern is public safety in Shelter Valley. I would now go over each concern, starting with the first, which is community character. Some of the proponents indicate that the proposed facility is inconsistent with a rural residential nature and would block the viewshed of the mountain ridge. As shown here is a side-by-side comparison of an existing water tank located across the project site and the proposed facility, which would disguise as an elevated water tank. The proposed facility would mimic the appearance of the existing water tank and blend in with the backdrop. Now I will move over to the next issue, which is site location. Some of the proponents express concerns that the facility is located in a residential area and is half a mile from the border of the Anza Borrego State Park. The Shelter Valley Community Center site was chosen because the fire station site is unavailable due to future expansion, and the placement of the proposed 45-foot tall full water tank at the Hunt Sky Ranch Airport posed a safety concern. Moreover, additional landscaping will be provided to adequately screen the facility. Property value is another issue raised by the opponents. However, it is not a required finding for major use permits. The county review of a proposed major use permit focuses on consistency with the general plan, zoning ordinance, and other applicable laws and regulations so that all the required major use findings can be made. Another issue that the residents in the area have brought up is health effects associated with radio frequency emissions. As discussed in the previous presentation, due to the FCC oversight, the county is preempted from considering environmental and health effects associated with RF emissions when reviewing proposed telecommunication facilities. Staff also received comments from residents of Shelter Valley supporting the proposed facility. The residents are concerned about the lack of means of communications, especially during emergency situations in Shelter Valley, and the proposed site would significantly enhance public safety in the area. As you can see from this slide, the closest approved cell site is approximately 5.4 miles to the west of the project site. I will now move to project recommendations. The project is located within the Desert Subregional Plan area, which is not represented by a formal county community planning group. Because the project complies with relevant codes and regulations, makes the required findings, and adequately addresses to the planning issues that have been raised, staff recommends that your commission approve the project as detailed in the staff report. This concludes our presentation, and staff is available to answer any questions.
Thank you. Commissioner Woods.
I just wanted to give a comment. Thank you for your presentation, Ms. Chen. To staff, I like what I heard that they are proposing a facility that can be, in the future, support co-location. And I don't know if that's something that we could request in the future, that opportunity be present on all future cell sites, because it's going to make our job a lot easier. It's going to take that argument away that always presents itself with these cell sites. No, we can't co-locate there. It's only one site. Doesn't support it. I mean, you know, that to me is just a great solution for the challenges of the future that we're involved in.
Commissioner Norby.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I concur with my colleague's statement there. The question that I have is that we have cell towers, cell locations, and many of them in the backcountry in this area are very, very important for, we have a discussion whether this is a convenience or whether it's an absolute necessity, and you get into these areas and it becomes a strong safety concern. So do we measure how much backup generation or how much backup battery power is available at the sites that have the highest safety priority as opposed to just convenience, or is it one standard all the way across?
Commissioner Norby, to the chair, Verizon Wireless actually puts backup diesel emergency backup generators at all their sites. Other providers put back gel battery packs that really, I think it's about 6 to 9 hours of life. In the interim, when there's emergencies, they do send out technicians out there to bring additional diesel or other backup battery packs for that use. So they are designed to provide immediate coverage during emergency events.
Yeah. I think for me personally, as we go forward in the years to come dealing with cell towers, I think some consideration should be, because, you know, when the S hits the fan and it all goes bad, is what we're worried about, not in a best-case situation, and that these sites that are remote or these sites that have critical health and safety functions and maybe don't have the redundancy that other areas have, that we beef up those emergency backup situations. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, we're open for public testimony.
Mr. Chairman, we'll begin with those individuals in opposition. I have a speaker slip from Lisa Anderson. She's representing a number of petition signers, and she's asking for a total of 7 minutes.
Will you be the only presenter? You can answer when you get to the mic.
Let me grab a... hello? Can we turn this on so I can...
Speaking of batteries.
Mr. Chairman, I'm
I don't know how you're going to do this, but because this is recorded, you've got to go to the mic, even if you have to go back and forth. I'm sorry about that. But every time you speak, you need to be at the mic. And you start by telling us who you are and where you live.
My name's Lisa Anderson.
Hello, check.
Okay, he's fixed it for you.
Oh, fabulous. Thank you. A techie. Hello? Oh, right. Here we go. Mr. Chairman, I'm here representing...
Got your name and address, please.
Lisa Anderson, P.O. Box 2343 Julian.
Thank you.
I will give you... Shelter Valley homeowner.
How much time do you need? You're asking for more than
Yes, I'm asking for 7 minutes because I'm here representing 53 petition signers, including 22 Shelter Valley residents.
This is important. I allow you.
Okay, thank you. Do we have visuals? Great. We request that the general plan and rural zoning ordinances be upheld to support the town's residential nature and proximity to Anza Borrego Desert State Park, parts of which are less than 1/2 mile from state park boundaries. According to San Diego Guiding Principle 3, it is critical that development be located, scaled, and designed to retain and enhance the qualities that distinguish its communities. This 45-foot proposed cell tower, by the way, the limit in that area is 35 feet, located in a non-preferred zone, is twice as high as other Shelter Valley structures and visible from the surrounding Desert State Park view shed. Please note that only paying Shelter Valley Corporation members can vote on this issue, so no dissenters attended the tower meeting. Here I've inserted
the placing those. If you look up there and you can, as you're placing it,
great. Okay.
And give us the
Here
best view.
This is important. Here I've inserted the cell tower site blueprint onto a map of the area matching due north. The 6-foot microwave transmission dish that's located in the plans is aimed 30 miles over the Desert State Park to El Centro. In order to get transmissions over the mountains, the Fresnel Range must be wide enough to inundate the Pinon Mountain Ridge slopes. This is much more radiation than that of a regular cell phone signal. This relay tower will transmit over some of the most used access roads and camping areas in the Desert State Park, and may threaten the health of the hundreds of park visitors who camp here for days at a time, as well as the endangered peninsular bighorn sheep that live on these slopes. This is the area. These are access roads that go up into this area. This is the direction of this 6-foot high-powered microwave relay over the mountains. Here's a picture of a bighorn sheep. that I photographed foraging in these hills before coming down to the valley's wetlands. Sorry about the quality, but it was twilight. This is what the Henrys will see from the deck of their home. They moved here after losing their home in the Cedar wildfire. Since real estate agents must reveal the presence of nearby cell towers, this tower will make it harder to sell their home and reduce their property's value significantly. This is a letter from Julian real estate agent Paul Bekonik. To say that the establishment of a cell tower would not affect the marketing of neighboring real estate would be false. Due to the perception of harm, the Bond and Beamish opinion survey confirms this. This view shows the location of the Shelter Valley Kids Club, which is right down in here. Numerous studies recommend that children be kept at least 1,500 feet from radiation sources. This view shows the This is what the walker's view will look like. Having lived here 21 years, their submitted letters reveal they are extremely upset at the possible loss of their views and property value. This is an endangered cactus wren. We have two that visit our yard, which is 1,000 feet from the tower site. Once irrigation is installed at the tower site, these endangered birds will certainly come to visit the site. The Environmental Species Act applies. This is a picture of Shelter Valley from the north end. Verizon is proposing putting a cell tower both in the center of Shelter Valley, and which is here, and here at Scissors Crossing. Just a single cell tower at Scissors Crossing would provide outside and car reception in Shelter Valley, the only coverage that is federally mandated. Please note the height of the Pinon Mountains, which are back in this area, that this relay tower dish is going to have to get over on its way to El Centro. It's going to spray that entire hillside with high-powered radiation. We ask that a locally inputted environmental impact report on endangered animals and a Pinon Mountain safety assessment be required. We also ask that this wireless provider have proof of liability insurance to cover negative impacts of this tower site on property devaluation and potential future adverse health impacts. And if the Planning Commission intends to approve the tower, that the tower company be required to purchase a bond to finance the tower's removal when they are finished using it or the technology becomes obsolete, etc. This is a picture of Shelter Valley from the south end. It's one of the last pristine dark sky areas anywhere in San Diego County. The Desert State Park EIR for Vallecito Mountain Wildlife Management Area bordering Shelter Valley states, this parcel is a valuable desert wetland located at the hub of a prehistoric Native American community and at the crossroads of many historic routes, including the Butterfield Stage and Southern Emigrant Trail. This area represents the highest values of state wilderness. Please consider rejecting this cell tower plan so that we may protect Shelter Valley State Park visitors, endangered wildlife, property values, and Kids Club children, and preserve the scenic and unique character of this dark sky valley and state park. International wildlife biologist Alfonso Balmori, co-author of the Bioinitiative Report, states, electromagnetic radiation is a form of environmental pollution which may hurt wildlife. Phone masts located in their living areas are irradiating continuously some species that could suffer long-term effects.
Ms.
Like
Anderson, you've gone 2 minutes over, but can you wrap it
up,
please?
Yes, I will.
Thank you.
Et cetera. I'd like to say to the Shelter Valley Citizen Corporation that I would personally be willing to donate my time and 35 years of business experience to help the citizens of Shelter Valley fund the community in a way that does not impact neighbors and the state park in a negative manner. Thank you.
And thank you.
I have a question, actually.
There's a question.
Yes.
Ma'am, you didn't speak to the coverage issue at all. Do you see that as...
Well, I did speak to
no,
it.
Let me,
I showed...
Could I finish my question?
Yes.
We saw some maps that indicated that under existing conditions, there is very poor, if any, cell phone reception in this area. And now with this proposed facility, there would be really a significant change in a positive direction for coverage. Is that an issue for you at all?
Being that 2 miles away, there is another proposed tower by Verizon. And the people at that location already receive cell phone coverage from 10 miles away in Julian. I think you can assume that a tower there would reach 2 miles into the town. As you can see, it's fairly flat.
Okay, that answered my question. Thank you very much.
And thank you for coming and your presentation.
Mr. Chairman, we have an additional speaker in opposition, Mr. Donald Wanamaker.
All right, hello. Yes, I'm Don Wanamaker. Also a resident, 3 years now in Shelter Valley, and my postbox is 2343. And I also am also the husband of Lisa. And my objection is I moved away from the city to get away from EMF. I was subjected during Vietnam and living in with the Navy, and it has a frequency that terribly bothers me. So 3 years ago, I decided I'm getting out of the city. So I go to Shelter Valley to live. And next thing I know, all these years I used to go there, no problem, no cell phone reception. I love that. The thing is that the community didn't really bring this to my attention, and I can see it as a health problem, but they don't see it that way. And I was never invited or got to vote on anything that the citizen groups of the community center rammed down, basically just to make a few extra bucks for the community. This cell phone tower can easily be put down 2 miles down the road. They don't need this big, giant water tower. They can stick all kinds of other radiation devices in it. The cell phone companies are taking over, and this is a pristine area, and we don't have another place in the county to go. You guys have let the cell phone people run this world. We need to stop it and slow down a little, say, hey, we have a nice place. Let's let something go. We don't need cell phone. We have regular landlines. They work fine. The fire department has its own wireless system already. They have communication on radios. It doesn't make sense to continually ram your systems down our throat. We need to have a break from cell phone reception for our health and for the animals and for just a beautiful area the way it is. You can go down, I can drive down, people come to visit me, they need to use their cell phone, they go down near Scissors Crossing, they can get right on the line. The fire department has no problem at all. I don't know what the issue is, why it's so important that every spot in the county must have a cell phone tower. Can't we just have one place that some of us can go to and be left alone? That's really all we want. I don't know if I have anything else to say. I'm just, it's an emotional topic with me because some people don't feel that the EMFs bother them and others do. And there's nothing I can do about it. And I've done my part. I believe in America and I've served my country and I want a little place just to be left alone. And I think that's it.
Well, your coming here is doing something.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you for coming.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Mr. Chairman, in addition, we have two speakers who wish to register their opposition but do not wish to speak. We'll move now to those speakers in favor, beginning with Margaret Chang, representing Mobilite. And she indicates she'll be speaking as part of an organized presentation.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Margaret Chang, representing Mobility on agenda item number 4. Our address is 765 City Drive, Suite 470, Orange, California, 92686. I would like to request, if possible, 10 minutes for a group presentation. Is that feasible?
And how many will be speaking?
It would be me and two additional, well, I guess if... Just me and one additional person. I don't know. Our client is here as well. I don't know if he wants to speak for himself.
Well, that 10 minutes does not include the client, just the two of you speaking right now. anyway, can you do it? I gave them 7. Can you do it in 7?
Okay, I will.
Let's try, and we'll see how it goes.
I will do my best
thank you.
With the allocated time. Mobility is a... Are we starting? Mobility is a tower management company that has committed to providing co-locatable facilities in key areas of East San Diego County to try and bring this region into the mainframe of the wireless network. And there are currently 300-plus homes in Shelter Valley, and the residences have to drive 2 miles up to Scissors Crossing in order to get reception. There is no existing Verizon facility at Scissors Crossing. I've verify that with Verizon engineers, so I'm not sure where that information came from. The stakeholders of this community are very susceptible to wildfires, and emergency services access from a cell phone could potentially save someone's life in this area. The primary objective, therefore, is to cover Shelter Valley and provide cellular data coverage for the entire community, as well as the Great Southern Overland Route going north and south. The specific to the coverage range of this facility is predicated on the existing topography, as well as the lowered height we have currently proposed at 45 feet. This translates to approximately 1.5 miles of solid in-building coverage, which means if an individual can be inside their home and they can make a call or they can surf the internet, transmit large quantities of data inside their home without any issues. This 1.5 mile diameter is reflected on the GSA map as the green area.
So that's 1.5 diameter?
Mm-hmm, diameter.
Oh.
It's approximately, which is estimated and illustrated on the map, yeah, which is as the green area. And it's crucial for us to have this green area as close to the residences as possible, which is why we need the facility to be as centrally located as possible in town to provide a 360-degree circumference to overlay all the residences and provide this in-building coverage. Now, let's see. Yeah, there are, I guess there were concerns about asking us to locate on the outskirts of town, but with this explanation, what will happen is we would end up having to locate more than one facility to achieve the same effect. And this would ultimately be more invasive to the Anza Borrego Park and the wildlife because we're disturbing the areas that haven't been developed. And in addition, it defeats the purpose of Mobility's mission statement, which is to provide co-locatable infrastructure to minimize additional builds in providing coverage for the network. And as explained, originally we came into the community with a 68-foot tree, And after a year or so of diligently working with staff and the community to redesign and pare down the height so that we could try and do our best to maintain the community character of the area but still function as a co-locatable facility in this town. But there are some concerned stakeholders regarding the output of a two-carrier facility. We do understand that the county is prohibited from discussing RF-related matters, but Immobility's continued efforts to be a good neighbor in the processing of this application. We had asked Dr. Bushberg, who is here to speak, he prepared a cumulative RF report for this facility, and once it's full capacity, when their two carriers are operational. And he would like to present his findings today in hopes of putting some of these concerns to rest so that we could provide coverage to the community. Dr. Bushberg?
He came.
Good afternoon, members of the commission. My name is Gerald Bushberg. My address is 7784 Oak Bay Circle, Sacramento, California. I'm an independent consultant that was from Sacramento that was asked to do a RF analysis on this particular site. The findings, including the future carrier, indicate that the maximum exposure to the public will be about 8% of what's allowed for public exposure. That's about 12 times less, or if you look at it in terms of the safety factor that's built into the standard itself, which is about a factor of 50, it's about 600 times lower than the lowest levels that are thought to be potentially harmful for human health. And of course, the standards were set assuming that exposures would be 24/7, 365. I also need to make you aware that the microwave dish issue isn't a typical cell antenna that is designed to cover an entire area surrounding the site. It's actually a point-to-point microwave link. It's a very, very small focus beam of energy, so it doesn't spray a mountainside. In fact, it communicates very tightly with a receiving dish on a distant mountainside. One other point I just wanted to make, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have. as is often the case, some of the details and information that people get from the internet end up getting somewhat misconstrued. And a good example of that is one of the quotes from the information provided to the commission indicating that the Royal Society of London recently produced the Bioinitiative Report. Well, the Royal Society of London had nothing to do with the Bioinitiative Report. In fact, the only thing that the Royal Society of London provided was a rented room for the group that had their meeting there, but had no input into the report, nor are they signatories to the report. in addition, the Bioinitiative Report itself has not been very well received by the international scientific community, and I'll just leave you with two quotes from two reputable sources. One is from the Netherlands Health Council, which stated regarding their review of the Bioinitiative Report, which is often quoted by opponents, that, quote, "The Bioinitiative Report is not an objective and balanced reflection of the current state of scientific knowledge. Therefore, the report does not provide any grounds for revising the current views as far as the risks from exposures to electromagnetic radiation." The European Commission, their EMFNet committee, which deals with science and technology issues, felt similarly, and quoting from their document, "This is not a consensus report, but rather a report of a working group, an assembly of chapters written by individual scientists and consultants. The summary for the public is written in an alarmist and emotive language, and the arguments have no scientific support from well-conducted EMF research. There is a lack of balance in the report, and no mention is made in the report of facts that do not concur with the author's previous opinions. The results and conclusions are very different from those of recent national and international reviews on this topic." So with that, I'll close and be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Right. Is Ms. Anderson, does this conclude your presentation? I can't see it.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Ms. Chang, I'm sorry. Thank you. We do have a question. thank you, Ms. Chang.
Just You know, I consider you an expert in the field, and that's why you're testifying on behalf of this company. I consider myself, you know, as a layperson, somewhat knowledgeable about this, but it's an interesting dynamic here in that we have a habitat of very sensitive habitat with a very sensitive population of species, and some of them endangered. And I am moved by testimony when I hear sonar and what it can do to navigation of whales and aquatic life. I often testify on renewable energy and electric vehicles, and have rebuttals from the oil company thrown my way. So what is the science as regarding migratory birds or animal life all the way up and down in terms of size?
So this has been looked at not as much in the United States, but much more so in Europe. And this isn't really a new issue either, because RF energy, of course, has been transmitted at much higher powers and even in these same frequencies. You and I are old enough to remember televisions that had the dial with the UHF band that went way up into the higher numbers past 40 and 50. Those frequencies were actually just reallocated to the wireless carriers for wireless communications. And so there have been a number of studies that have looked at impacts on wildlife, and the net result of that is that at the very low levels associated with these individual cell sites, there is no impact on migratory patterns or adverse health effects that have been identified.
Thank you.
County Council, I think I need to request you to step in at this point, because we...
We've heard a lot of testimony about emissions, and I just wanted to remind the commission that we're preempted from even considering that issue, so we should not take any of this evidence into consideration in making our decision.
And we appreciate you coming. It's almost a workshop, but we knew that, but I felt that I would let you at least make others knowledgeable of it, but we cannot make it as...
Yeah, I appreciate what you shared. It kind of supports what we have believed.
Thank you very much. Ms. Chang, thank you.
Our next speaker has indicated he's part of an organized presentation, Johnny Hake from Julian.
Good morning, gentlemen. My name is Johnny Hake. I reside in Julian, P.O. Box 863 in Julian. I'm speaking on behalf of Julian Cuyamaca Fire. I'm a volunteer coordinator for Julian Cuyamaca Fire and also a team leader with CERT, Community Emergency Response Team. We, over the past, since 2007, when we got our credentials to teach the program, have put together a pretty good size group. We've been able to teach over 350 members of our community with a great desire not to be caught unaware again. We have weathered earthquakes and fires and snowstorms, and we've always found that our biggest problem was communication. I know we're here to talk about Shelter Valley, and one of the things you need to know, if you don't already know it, is that Shelter Valley is one of our first places we go when we evacuate in Julian. The communications have been difficult, to say the least. We have developed a ham radio process and emergency radio procedures to contact them. But in the event, with the Great Fire here recently, where we needed communications back, because our job as CERT is to gather facts and to do damage assessment, there are very few locations where our CERT members down there can go and still communicate, so we lose track of them. That's critical to health. That's critical to life. So I'm here to support the fact that we put that in. It's doing the greatest good for the greatest number, gentlemen. And I'm real happy that I don't have to enlighten anyone about that importance. Thanks.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Mr. Hake. Michael Rue.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Michael Rue, and I am at P.O. Box 64 in Ocotillo, California. I've been a semi-resident of Shelter Valley within the past year and then preceding 2 years. And living very close by, I've served as a computer technician for the community. Numerous people have used me to work on their machines who have dial-up internet access. And I have actually stood on rooftops and on 1 foot with a Wi-Fi modem that picks up Verizon, probably risking my own life and limb so I can download software for a customer's machine. In the scope of things, that may not be the utmost important thing, but it is one huge thing because that brings into mind the communications issue. I have also needed to call people. I have a couple people who don't even have landlines, and I've had to get my phone out to where I could hold it up in the air and reach somebody, you know, to get some kind of help for their computer systems, and that's one issue. Is this would bring in internet access, which would bring in a whole new thing like voice over IP communications. People can talk over their computer internet connections if they get this tower in, because they can do that. Let's say they don't get cell coverage, but they can get just an internet card. You can talk unlimited over voice over IP. That is a huge consideration to me. The other thing is those people who I have seen break down on S2 on numerous occasions, who cannot use their cell phones to call because there is no coverage. It is a very good use for travelers and campers who would have a busted leg and under a rock and unable to move, and the only thing they've got is their phone in their pocket to call somebody, and that would be very good if they're camping, let's say, up in the mountains or whatever, or broken down in their cars and can't call anybody. This is good for travelers and residences. So those are my two big things I wanted to mention about this, because I've been there, and I've been for a week without power, and it's been where the cell phone was the only thing usable, and it really did do a world of good to have that in the part I live in where I did get cell reception, so I do know how important that is. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you, sir. Carol Eccles.
Hi, my name is Carol Eccles. I live at 7240 Hard Scramble Trail, Shelter Valley, but our address is Julian, but it's Shelter Valley. I've lived there for 15 plus years. I became very sick a year after I lived there. So did a few other people. We blamed it on the water. But the first lady that spoke, I wanted to correct a few things. Julian is 20 miles away. It's a 25-minute drive because of the curves. And these pictures were gorgeous, but I didn't see our houses. We live in a subdivision with houses and streets, and I'm just seeing, like, what's in my backyard, which I have Borrego State Park in my backyard, or Anzo Borrego State Park. And the Longhorn sheep are on the way to Borrego in a whole different mountain. So I didn't quite understand that. I noticed she did say she had signatures, 50 or 70, but only 20-some were from Shelter Valley. And I was looking through them, and yeah, there's some from Chula Vista. I don't know if you realize how far that is away. That's over 2 hours away. Other towns here that Alpine wouldn't really have anything to do with us. I also wanted to say that I have a rare form of lupus. I'm legally blind. My husband travels. He usually works in LA during the week and is home on weekends. I've been through many fires, not in Shelter Valley, but in Ramona, Julian, in between. And whenever anybody like them have fires, we lose our electric, our phones, and for days. Been like that in the middle of the summer for up to 8 days. There's been times that I'm too sick to get up. I go up and down with my health. And there was one time where my husband had to leave me with a stack of towels and putting cups and pitchers of water. And when that phone went out, because they shut it down, like this beginning of this week, we had a red flag call that if it was too windy, San Diego Gas and Electric was going to shut us down. We don't have water then. But for me, it was really hard because I've spent times in the hospital up to 5 times a year because of my condition. If I can't call anyone, I'm dead. I can't use the medical alert thing because if there's no phones, you can't use one. They run off your phone. And I've had some scary times like that. I've been stuck in a bathtub for hours, and I've been on the floor. The paramedics have had to pick me up many times when my disease kicks in. But we also have a lot of elderly down there, a lot of disabled. We have a lot of students that are going through college on internet. It's really rough on dial-up. If they can't get upgraded, they can't even get half their homework.
Okay. Ms. Ann, we have to ask you to summarize, please.
Okay. Sorry. And I just want to say that it's not just cell phones. It's not just it's also internet. But I really believe that some of these people that are complaining about it have microwaves, cars, refrigerators, and things that has that exact same thing, color TVs. That's all.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Damon Grant.
Hello. My name is Damon Grant. My family has the property at 7878 Stagecoach, Great Overland Stage Route, there in Shelter Valley. We have the biggest business there in town, Stagecoach RV and Campground. We have a general store there where we sell food and supplies, and then of course a campground and RV park where we get hundreds if not thousands of people bringing their families and their pets and their horses. And one of the things that we find when people come is they're quite surprised that they have absolutely no coverage. Personally, I find that on occasion a refreshing thing, but more often than not, it's better to have it than not have it. I'd like to tell you a story about my father. He was working and digging holes to plant some trees this last summer, and he had a stroke. And he lay there, couldn't move very well. He couldn't speak very well. And if it weren't for somebody passing by, I don't know what would have happened to him. But I know that he had a cell phone on him, and I know that there was absolutely no coverage whatsoever. Of course, we can speak towards the benefits of having coverage for fire, and I'll let smarter people than me do that, and you folks have visited this many times, I'm sure, but just personal tragedies and what was just spoken about, things that can happen to all of us. It's nice to be able to call out for help. The last thing I want to mention is that we've heard today a lot about just increasing coverage here and increasing coverage there. In Shelter Valley, we don't care about increasing coverage. We just want coverage. Doesn't matter what carrier, Verizon, Cricket, AT&T, we just need some form of increased communication, consistent communication. And I support, and my family supports this tower.
And thank you for coming down.
Dan Cooley.
Comment over.
My name is Dan Cooley. I live at 7474 40 Rod Trail in Shelter Valley. And we bought our property, the wife and I brought our property there in 89, February. And in 92, we pulled a permit, built a house, finished it in 95, and we've been permanent residents since. And it's a very difficult area. It's a lovely area, but like the others have said, communication is horrible. Every time we have a snowstorm, a flood, earthquake, fire, we have no communication. And beyond the communication and the seriousness of that critical communication, we don't have cable. The phone lines won't support DSL, so we're stuck with dial-up or satellite, which is quite expensive and still isn't very fast. So I would, when we go on the internet, of course, we don't have telephone at all, even when it is working. So it's a real problem, and I just hope that you folks will realize the necessity of a cell phone out there in this day and age. Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming over.
Mr. Kevin Bennett.
My name is Kevin Bennett. I live at 690 Wells Fargo Trail in Shelter Valley, California. It's a Julian address. I'm the fire chief for Shelter Valley Fire. I've been the fire chief for 2.5 years, the assistant chief for 7 years before that, and a captain 5 before that. I'm invested in my community. A lot of my thunder has been stolen by previous speakers. So let me just basically hit on the high points. We have a huge gap in protection because of lack of communications for citizens. I do have VHF, UHF radios for my people. Citizens don't have that. They can't call for help. If they're not near a phone line, a landline, hard line, which does go down multiple times a year, they're on their own. Without this upgrade, without this installation, Shelter Valley is not as safe as it can be. And without doing everything we can to protect our citizens, that's our fault. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, that concludes speakers that wish to speak in favor. We have 4 additional speakers registering their position in favor of the project but don't wish to speak.
Thank you very much, Commissioner.
Am I allowed to correct a fact
no.
that has a bearing on your outcome?
No, not at this point.
Tower was mentioned in the mobility letter.
Wait a minute. Listen. Again, this is recorded. Against my colleagues, come up here for 1 minute, please. You guys beat me up later. I'm doing this.
The mobility spokesperson said that they don't know where they got the idea that there is a tower going up at Banner at Scissors Crossing. It's right in the file. In this mobility file, it says from the company Mobility that Verizon has plans to put a tower there.
Thank you. Staff, is that correct? From your records?
Chairman Brose, Mobility, they do have an application in for a site for at Caesars Crossing, and it's still in process right now.
Thank you. We have. I'm officially closing public.
I think there's one more speaker. Did you fill out a speaker slip, sir?
I certainly did. Genest, G-E-N-E-S-T.
Come forward while he's looking for it. And thank you, and our apologies. We have not closed public testimony yet.
All right, thanks. My name is Ed Genest, and I live at 7459 Kicking Horse Trail. That's kicking without a G. I'm a Shelter Valley Citizens Corporation board member, although I'm not representing the board right at the moment. I am an amateur radio operator. I am a member of the Amateur Radio Emergency Services, which is ARES. I am a CERT member of the Julian Shelter Valley Radio Communications Team. We currently have 12 amateur radio operators in Shelter Valley. We also have 20 CERT members in Shelter Valley. Our community center is a Red Cross evacuation center. I am a Red Cross shelter volunteer worker. All of these organizations rely heavily on communications in times of emergencies. When the power and phone go out, which seems to happen quite often in Shelter Valley, but especially during fires and high winds, especially high winds, we opened the community center to provide a place for people to come and keep warm and cool and to get updated information. During these times, we send our CERT teams out to the community to check up on the shut-ins and people in need. We send communications people along with each team. If all is well, the amateur radio will work fine if the repeaters are all going. But there are many times when a cell phone would be handy to contact our people at the home and back to the community center. Cell phone coverage would also give us added options for internet service. At present, we have two choices, dial-up or satellite. Many people out there are poor, and they can't afford the satellite, which is fairly expensive. And dial-up with today's modern internet services just doesn't cut it. Some of our residents work out of the area and use their cell phones back and forth, and they're on call when they come home. My wife is one of them. When she gets home, cell phone don't work. She's no longer on call with the cell phone. She has to change it over to the house phone. And if that's out, then we're up the creek. All of our submitted petitions that we submitted was like about 150 plus, were all of residents of Shelter Valley. They were actually permanent residents there. I had a kid that was going to come here today with all the kids' reasons for wanting a cell phone, like every kid wants them. But due to the weather and school commitments, she couldn't make it. So I said, well, I'll say something in your behalf that every kid out there wants a cell phone. And so that we would hope that you would take that into consideration also. Thank you.
And you did provide us with a lot of good information. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Now this closes public testimony. I'm not accepting anything else now. Okay, Commissioner Beck.
I'd like to make a motion to support staff recommendation.
It's been moved by Commissioner Beck and seconded by Commissioner Reese to accept staff's recommendation. Any discussion? No. There being none, please vote.
Mr. Winslow probably did his magic on it.
Mr. Woods is not working. Okay. Let's, for the record, all seated commissioners voted in favor of the motion, with Commissioner Day absent. Thank you.
You take 5 minutes.
We're going to take just a quick break of like five, no more than 10.
Commissioner Woods just says he's able to light
the light. His light is down.
You know, I've been.